Pastor John is speaking today, and he is president of the Baptist Church Planters. Now, all of us that have been around here for a few years understand that, but we have people that have yet to meet this family and know about this ministry, and so I wanted to make sure that we at least had an opportunity to give a word of explanation to his role with Baptist Church Planters and why they have been hugged on several times already today. It's because not only has he made an impact there, but he's left his mark, this family has, on our church as well.
Well, it is so good to be here and to come, and our goal today is really just to encourage you as a church, because there are aspects of our life and ministry that you know so well, but there are things and ways that you make impact on our family to now, and you may not realize that. For instance, just not long ago, I kept getting phone calls, emails, texts from people here at Calvary about a baptism service and what God had done and just what God was showing among you as a body. And I have to tell you, what that did for Jennifer and I just lifted our spirits as we're serving. You know, when you're a part of a body a long time and love each other, there are just things that they don't go away. Your heart is here. In part, it can't help but be that way. Matter of fact, I was fine in first service, so I should have stayed home after that because I was struggling emotionally. I'm like, I got to hold it together to preach here. But, you know, we know each other. And some of you I haven't gotten to know yet, but I can't wait because I know you. I know your background. And when we sing some of these truths that Pastor Zach put in front of us, I know how you've wrestled that. I know how you live that. And I don't get to worship like that where I live now, because I'm on the front end of just, you know, starting to know people, and because of my travel schedule, my wife knows people better than I do, and so there's something lost when we're not together like that. So you have something so special, don't miss that. So you encourage us as we think about the impact that you're having here for the cause of Christ. We talk about you a lot with people, the things you've done for God, the things you are doing for God. It's so good. You impact us as you pray for us, and we hear that back from you. Constantly. I want to share a few things. We're having more fun in this service with slides, so we'll see what happens. When my slides can work, go ahead and throw them up, and I will work from there. So our family, if I give you a little background, some of you have really prayed for my wife as she walks alongside of her mom in hospice, and it's actually just, we really thought she'd be in heaven by now, and we're grateful that she's not. We just look to see how God wants us to serve and be a part of her life and a part of Jen's dad's life. He lives with us. And, you know, it's just been an interesting year in walking through some of that. So thank you for praying. It's just a blessing. It'll fit the message, but it's such a blessing to be able to be here. And we're getting ready to go on vacation with all our family and to have some quiet away. My wife really needs that rest at this point. Pray in that. As I travel often, many weekends, every week right now, it's kind of like, okay, should I go or not? And that's a hard way, you know, usually you can establish patterns in life, but we don't have patterns. We have this week, what should we do? But, you know, that's reality before Jesus anyway. So if you're thinking about our family, you can pray for that. We're so thankful how you love our children. Pray for them and continue to encourage them, sometimes nudge them spiritually. That's a beautiful thing. We're glad they're here with us today. It's kind of a pre-vacation fun spot. And have a little granddaughter time. We'll take that any day of the week and as it comes. Joshua is in the Air Force. Well, he's a civilian working for the Air Force and kind of in her first year of his new job, enjoying that. Abigail is going to be at Camp Fairwood. And I get to be there too for Senior High Week. Can't wait to come and preach, be a part of Senior High Week, and see some of you and build you up. Fairwood has just a soft spot in our heart, and so I was second on the list. The first guy canceled. I love being second, because now I get to come, you know. I think it's Abby's fault. But anyway, I was so glad, because then I get to be with some of you and be with her, and hopefully Jennifer can come with us. And Abby's also looking to finish a year at Cedarville. They're here. You can talk about some of that. Rob is local, and they're going to a church and just enjoying obeying God in their home. We love to watch them as they parent. They've been so kind to us to train their daughter to love us at a distance. And some of you have to do that in families, and we appreciate what they do that way. BCP, if I can say a few things about that, then we'll go to Psalm 105. BCP, we really exist to facilitate the process of the Great Commission in churches. Mission agencies aren't in the Bible, so if we're going to be around and we're going to be here, it better be underneath local church. And how do we foster that and cause that? And we just initiate connects with churches. And now, most of the time, churches are initiating connects with us. And when they call us for help, then we have opportunity through many means to cultivate agreement and building and discipleship in particular, to intentionally disciple and help them know how to do that. And everything we do, we try to do in a way where it can be multiplied. And so those churches actually multiply it within themselves. You do that here. You understand that. But then they start to reach to other churches. So most of the churches that have come to us the last 2 years are through the churches we first helped. And many of them I was helping when I was still a pastor here. And so that's, again, so many times when I'm with these churches, I think of you and how you had forethought and willingness to let me invest and what God is bringing from that, and it's continuing to multiply. I'll share a couple of those pieces. In the process of doing that through internships, but also just through discipleship, as has happened here, you end up sending people out of the multitude to go serve wherever around the globe. And we're seeing that as there is a pastor at one of the churches now that came through the leadership journey, and another person just getting ready to launch as a missionary. And that's God's plan. It's not John Jenks' plan. It's not Baptist Church Planner's plan. It's just the book of Acts being lived out intentionally together as churches. And you see the different ways through sending people, discipleship, church planning, revitalization, that we try and do that. Again, everything's with multiplication. And this slide you've seen before, and it pictures that. But I want you to think about the arrow that has no writing on it. Okay, so you don't have to be able to read. Well, it was there. That arrow represents the fact that, okay, you're a church. And most of us, I think, dare say all of us, walked in today and we got to enjoy this church. And someone, that's what happened to me, someone created, planted, caused this with Jesus, and I got to walk in and inherit it, right? And my grandfather said, when you inherit something, that you need to leave it in a better spot than when you got it. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of what he looked at me. So I'm thinking about that all the time, because sometimes we can get kind of casual, like, well, we have this church, and I go to church, and it's great, and I have church, and it's kind of like this spoke on a wheel over here. But the truth is, I work with churches that thought that way 5 years ago, and now they're about to close. It takes very little to see a church go, whoo, and be gone. It takes intentional walking together in Christ. And that's our goal. That's your goal. That's why we're glad to be sent by you to go help stir this up in other churches and to see them then stir it up in other churches. If the slides come back, maybe they will. There's a USA map, and it just shows all the churches, and it's kind of a cross-section. You see a kind of an angle across the country, kind of some unique cultures. Right now, we're working with about 60 churches. When I went with the mission, there was about 18 in 2017. So you can see how God has shifted and really created great opportunities through discipleship. And now you can kind of see clusters being formed. And there's about 10 to 15 new churches that are ready to start this fall with us. They've already committed verbally, and so that you're going to see that happen again. And what we're trying to do now, if you're really praying about it, pray that as these churches, 3, 4, 5 in a basic local area, are now working together in discipleship and revitalization, that they would then plant churches. And we're seeing the front end of that as an Anglo church, if you want to call it that, in Nebraska is helping plant a Hispanic church. And that Hispanic church, over the last few weeks, God's just been growing them. They're not quite a church plant. They don't have a doctrinal statement totally solid yet, but they're putting those pieces together under council. And it's fun to see the beginning fruits of churches that we helped build and encourage begin to multiply just the way that God would intend every church to multiply. He doesn't say how often or when, but it's just a natural outflow that should happen from churches. Maybe a couple other pieces in that. Church planning, everything we do, we kind of try and help people with a process, whether it's how to do outreach, so they can visualize what should we do. And church planning's like that. You see the bottom part of this. I won't teach the whole thing, but the bottom part, you see multiple churches involved. We use this same model, the same beginning thing, to help with revitalization. So one of the churches you helped, Ankeny Baptist Church, way back, I mean, in like 15, you helped them through me, through other people in this church, to begin to disciple intentionally. Now they are supplying pastors to a little work in the central part of Des Moines that doesn't have a pastor, It's only about 40 or 50 people, and they're preaching there every week. They're sending couples to that church. And you say, but so whose church is it? Well, that's where BCP comes in. So you have that Des Moines church, you have Ankeny church. They're both independent. They both are supposed to obey God and be separate from each other. And BCP is just kind of the grease in the gears that helps those two independent churches then work together and multiply something. It is so fun. That church was dismal. They're kind of in a little bit of a scary area of Des Moines, if you're not used to the city and some of the travails that are going on in cities. And they're just like, I just don't know if we can make it. And as soon as other believers were starting to walk alongside of them and encourage them, it was just fun to watch hope. Because we have hope in Jesus, don't we? And that never goes away. But sometimes we get our eyes down and we stop seeing him. And it takes believers that are walking with him to come in and infuse that and see the next piece that God would do. You can get our prayer letters if you sign up, and it would give you a way to kind of stay up to speed with maybe some of these stories and specifics. When I was a missionary sent by you and not president of the agency, I obviously had to have support as a vice president. That's the way our mission did it. Now, some people said, well, now they pay you. Do you need support? Well, it's not the same. I used to have to raise whatever a family lives on, you know, kind of what that chunk is. Now I have to raise $500,000. That's a bigger chunk. but, you know, God's gracious, and he provides. And we've just asked God to put personal partners alongside of us so that we could bring $6,000 a month toward the mission, because we have people that understand that half of what I do is that facilitation of churches. And it's been fun to watch God provide that in unique ways, even this year, so that we're basically right on task as I stand here for what we'd hope God would provide through that. You also see a little skinny orange thing. I just say this because it's different. We're not a church. We're a mission agency, so we can do money somewhat differently. So our agency had some extra land, so a few years ago we built RV storage, enclosed RV storage, because there was none of it in the area. And we immediately filled 20 bays. And so we're building one more, and we can kind of foster it without any extra expense. And so now, by the end of this year, that'll bring like about $40,000 every year into the mission, which takes pressure off local churches and just enables us to meet lost people that are storing their RV. And so our staff loves that. We get to interact, impact our community, but also it helps impact the cause of Christ. It just helps, again, synergize pieces together. Your partners with us, so a huge thank you to you as you continue to support the ministry that we're doing. The money is a piece of that, but actually it's really the praying and the advocating. It's living out what we're doing. And when I sit with Pastor Jack today and hear some of the things, I'm like, yes, Calvary's living out the very things that we're trying to encourage. That's a beautiful thing. Let's go to the psalm, because I'd rather spend time on that and put our focus on the Lord Jesus. And I think of this psalm, Psalm 105, and you can relax. I'm not going to preach the whole psalm. That would take quite a while. We're just going to do the passage you read. So Psalm 105, it starts out with this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And I don't know about you, sometimes I start a week and I read scripture like this. I'm like, oh, great, another command. I know that sounds terrible coming from somebody who teaches scripture. But sometimes you're like, oh, man, another thing I'm supposed to do? Can I do all this? But in the English, it sounds that way, and it is a command. I don't want to short sell it. Okay, it is a command, but it has a different verb idea in the original language that we don't really express well in English. And the verb idea is that, oh, give thanks. So you're commanded to give thanks, and it will be caused in you. You catch that? So in other words, it's a command we need to do, but it's going to be caused from the outside. So you can kind of sit back in this sermon and relax a minute, all right? So yeah, it's a command I need to do. But if we're doing how it's laid out here, the next few verses, this command or the obedience to this is automatically going to happen in your life. Now, some of you probably know this. I mean, haven't you had times in your life where you just see God at work and you can't help yourself? You give thanks to God to complete strangers sometimes. Have you ever done that? I'll just say, man, it's amazing what God did. And then I realize they have no idea who God is. And they're kind of looking at me like, who are you? You know, but that's fun. It creates another conversation. And that's not bad. But that's what this idea is, that I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to celebrate the grace of God. That's what Thanksgiving is, that he has graced us. And I'm going to show that celebration. And in this case, speak it. He says, give thanks to the Lord. How is this going to be caused in us? I think there are just like simple commands or things we ought to do that help cause it. Look at the first one. It says, call upon his name. Well, let me back up. This would be bad if I didn't say this. This is in the plural. So I made it sound like maybe I would go over here and do these next commands and that God would cause me to give thanks. And you know what? That does happen on the individual basis. But the psalm is written for us to do it together. So in other words, these next commands we give, we have to do those commands. They're all plural. So it's not just me by myself. Matter of fact, you were doing some of them earlier in the service. So that's good. But as you do those things together, then together we will be caused to give thanks. And that makes more sense to me because when I am dragging my wagon, I'm struggling, I'm down, I can't see my way forward because of the hardships that come in my life that I think are hardships. I'm emotionally just beside myself, whatever it may be. When I come to those spots, I rarely generate thanksgiving on my own. How about you? I mean, it's going to have to be caused by God. And let me tell you, the fastest way to have that switched in your life is to do it with this crew right here. That's what, I mean, you're here, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But that's why we meet together, so that God can turn that in our mind and even in our emotion, right? He helps our soul get there, and he's going to use each other as we do these commands together in plural. So together we do that. And it's obviously in the context of a covenant or a promised relationship with God. We think about, you know, who does this or how. We have the same relationship. Now in Psalm 105, it was a covenant to Abraham and to Israel. But we can claim these same words and understand the covenant that we have with Almighty God that's actually listed in a minute form later in the chapter. And that is, we have the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. Amen? And he promised to me everlasting life. He said, if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, if you recognize what it means by that is, if you recognize that he is the I am, okay, he's master, he's king. If you recognize that, he says, and that you recognize that he is Jesus, that he is rescuer. So you need to know you need rescue. And most of us, if we stop long enough and we get honest in the mirror, we know we need rescue, right? Like even on our best day, we know, yeah, but there was stuff over there that's like kind of messed up. God calls it sin. Things that we know we disappointed, they were wrong. And even if we did terrific the rest of our life, that baggage is still chasing us. Like we need some kind of fix for that. And frankly, we're going to make more of it before we're done, right? That's what I do. And so we need a rescue, a Savior who takes away that sin. And it's that covenant promise to us that when we believe in him, we put our trust in him for that salvation. He says it's in that wondrous work of God, that we're going to be able to do this next command of call on his name. Call on his name. I gave you some help on the paper. Appreciate Al pointing that out. There's some on the screen. When I think about how am I going to come to a place where I'm caused to give thanks, I need to obey the command, call on his name. But you know, you can do that when you're distressed. Right? It's as simple as Jesus. Understanding what that name means. I was trying to think which one would I use today, and I was thinking about our transition over the last 4 years, really, but the last year of being away from Wisconsin Rapids totally, and I think he has been my shepherd. Right? We know that's one of the Psalms that says that in John 10, but what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack. Right? What else does that shepherd do? He restores my soul. So where it's shaken and I can't fix it, he's the restorer of that. He helps us when we walk through paths of death. We can't fix death, just like we can't fix our shame and our sin. But in our covenant relationship with God as shepherd, which I have, I've called on his name. And that's always present. Even in the worst day, I know that he's redeemed me. And now, as I sit here in my right mind too, I know he's shepherd that cares for me. He provides for me. I love the fact that his goodness and mercy, one pastor said they're like the hounds of heaven. They chase us down, right? Sometimes I'm running from mercy, which seems ridiculous, but I've done it, right? And in his great shepherding, he chases me down with goodness and mercy. You want to have a thanksgiving that comes to your heart? Do what you can do even in your worst day. Just call on his name. And some of these names really fit your circumstance. I can't cover all your circumstances. Matter of fact, if you're really struggling, the circumstance is in your head. Like you know what that is. Okay, we never have to go, tell me what's hard in my life. If you have hardship, you know it. Okay, if you're asking that question, you don't have hardship right now. But if you have hardship, you know it. And so I'd ask you, and I've done this last couple years several times. I'm in a hardship. I don't like where I sit. Some of it's difficult. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't know what to do next. And I say, okay, God, that's my circumstance. What aspects of you, what name of you would bring an answer to my situation? So I've tried to provide you names that I'm not even going to talk about today. So as you look in your struggle, if you're there, say, what names would bring the fix to this? Because I'm telling you, this is who God is. If it's in Scripture, and that's what He's called, and that's His attribute, then He is that. He's always that. He will be that with you if you've called on Him as Lord and Savior. So look at your circumstance, and then select a name. For us, for Jennifer and I, as we walk through some of this year, we've chosen that idea, I have several times, of shepherd. She's talked about the word guide and how God, He just does that. Call on His name. It says it a couple of different ways. It not only says God, call, but verse 3 says, glory or boast in His holy name. I love the idea of boasting, not about myself. That would be bad. But I used to do this about you all the time, just so you know. When I was in the community in Wisconsin Rapids, I used to tell stories about you, the good things you did. When I'd watch you serve your neighbor or people or each other, and I would boast about the work of God in you, and the way I would do it so that God would be the one that we're boasting in, right? And He says, boast in His, not just His name. So if God has shepherded me, and He has, then I boast, man, He is the best shepherd. But this verse takes it a step higher. It says, boast in His holy name, which means He is shepherd like no one else ever shepherds. Okay, He is set apart and unique in His shepherding. And you can take that for every aspect of God, whether on the screen or on your page and many others that are in Scripture. When you start calling on His name, you realize, yeah, I should shepherd some people, but let me tell you, He is holy shepherd, totally separate, set apart and above. Call on His name. Don't just call on His name, but it says if we're going to be people that come to thankfulness, we need to make known His works. You can see it in the passage. It says, tell, verse 2, of all His wondrous works. Verse 5 says, remember the wondrous works He's done. And verse 1 is where we started with this, says, make known His deeds or His works. So what God has done, make known that among the church and celebrate it and be happy little people. Is that what it said? Didn't exactly say that. That's not wrong, by the way. That should happen. It's called fellowship. And I saw some of that in an ABF today. If you haven't done ABF, you ought to jump in one. It's a great place to practice this together because it's in the plural. But He says, make known His deeds among the peoples. In other words, your neighbor should hear about God's shepherding, if you're me, shepherding in your life. God, your neighbor should hear about how you think God's creation is unbelievable. I mean, I was part of a wedding over the last couple of days, and I walked down this path of just, I mean, frankly, ugly central Wisconsin jack pine. But there was gorgeous flowers that God had planted right next to it. And your attention went where? Flowers. Matter of fact, I didn't even think about the jack pine until just now. The flowers, they were so beautiful. I'm going to tell our people, man, this path was cool. I'm going to tell, it was so beautiful how God had put that there as if He knew a bride was going to walk down this path. And they're going to look at me like I'm nuts. And it's going to be great. And I'm going to continue to celebrate the wondrous works of God. I did this and I wrote this and some stuff some of you probably read. But I was making new, you know, garden beds for my wife this year, adding to what we started last year. And where we live in Ohio, it is just awful clay. Matter of fact, if I can tell on my wife, she's laughing. Our clay is so clayey, if that's a word, that when I was digging it, she picked it up and she goes, this feels like clay. Really, Jennifer? You know, it's just awful. It's sticky. I mean, you can barely shovel it. In the summertime, my neighbor tried to plant a plant by his, and he had to rent an air chisel. Because the clay, it had grass on it that was living. It's inexplicable. And he had an air chisel to make a big hole and then bring some other kind of dirt in. I mean, it's awful. And so I'm digging this wet, heavy clay. And my neighbor, who has never had a real personal conversation with me, even though I've tried, is standing 20 feet away because of COVID. And we're having a little bit of a conversation. I said, isn't it weird? I said, this hard, hard clay, and God makes this soft little animal, little being, an earthworm, that can go through this concrete. And he goes, I never thought of that. He didn't even question God. And then he goes, did you know my brother died of COVID this year? I'm like, whoa, man, this guy's never told me personally. And my sister has cancer. I'm like, where did this come from? Well, it comes when you start a conversation about the wondrous works of God. All of a sudden, there can be attention. God uses that among the peoples. People who don't even know they believe in God or that a God exists or that their soul would be drawn to God. They don't even know that yet. But if you just call on his name and then make known his deeds. Now, and when that happens and you start having interactions like that, do you think that causes thanksgiving in me? Yeah, it's like coming out. I was like, you wouldn't believe what just happened over an earthworm. You know what I mean? Like, go figure, right? Make known his deeds among the people. One of the cool things is this is just like the Thanksgiving verb. Because some of you are introverts and you just like check the box like outreach for someone else, you know. Like talk to other people. Nope. You know, you do that. But this section, it says here, make known his deeds. And the idea is that you're going to be caused to make his deeds known to other people. You who may be reticent to speak, but I'll just give you a hint. Extroverted people who are easy to talk, it doesn't mean we talk about spiritual things easily. We often push them away because our soul is missing something. What's it missing? Well, we skip the first command of calling on the name of the Lord. But if we call on his name, we'll be made to give thanks and we will be enabled or caused to make known his deeds among the people. I did not go out to dig that flower bed and intend to think about an earthworm. I've never used an earthworm to talk about God ever. Okay? But when we pray specifically, we call on God's name that he would make us a witness because the Spirit himself is witness and that's what we ought to be. God will do the rest. Trust him. He will open your mouth. He's promised it in the book of Acts, by the way. So you don't even have to hope it. It's just true. Make known his deeds, his works. Who should do this? Well, those of us who have had this gospel done to us. In ABF, my wife shared from this same passage. But Psalm 145, she's working on this right now, I guess. Psalm 145, she pointed this to me recently in verse 8 and 9. It says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. In other words, a promised love. The Lord is good to all. Do you hear that? You're part of the all. He's good. And that's the word for creation, tov. God made it just right. And he says he is good to you. And his mercy is over all that he's made or done. All your works shall give thanks to you, and all your saints will bless you. He's telling us, and he says it two more times, that his works are always good and based on mercy. Now, about you, there's days I read that verse and I go, well, I can't see that. I can't. I see works and stuff that's happening around me, and I know God's in charge, and it does not look good. I mean, we live in a nation that's having trouble being good, right? It's in topsy-turvy mode. And so we can just start to cave in and think, there's no way this can be good. And we might even say, and you have no idea, Pastor John, what's gone on in my life this year, and you're right, I don't. But I know that the Scripture clearly says, thou to celebrate his works, because his works, though they may be inexplicable to my mind and understanding and my heart, they are and will be good for me. Transition, leaving you all, that was not fun, okay? And but it is good for us and you. It was God's best plan, even though pieces of it we don't like and don't want to do again, right? But it's his best plan. The first place I think this just landed on me so hard I could never flinch away from it was from a man who only came to Calvary four or five times. He came to know Christ, and he's in heaven now. But he had been abused as a child, and his life turned upside down. No family. I mean, it was just wreckage after wreckage after wreckage. And we met through a family member's funeral. He came to me just strung out on drugs one day and said, will you help me? I said, well, Jesus can. And this man, over a period of time, came to know Christ and forsook his lifestyle and direction. And as he was growing, I'll never forget the day he sat with me, and I could never tell someone to think this. So I'm not telling you to think this. I'm telling you, call in the name of the Lord and let his wondrous works by his own hand settle it in your mind. But this man looked at me, he goes, I'm so thankful for the terrors of my youth. I thought, I'm thinking, where is this going? He said, because if that hadn't happened, I may have never come to Christ. I may have never pursued because I could not find peace. So I'm glad that happened. I'm like, man, I would never tell a guy to say that. But was he right? He was right. Jesus would even say it this way in Luke 10, where he tells them after they were celebrating. So this is a positive passage. They're celebrating. Incredible stuff God had just done at their hands as disciples. And he goes, don't celebrate that. Celebrate that your name is written in heaven. And this gentleman, he understood that. It got down in his heart. He's like, but my name's in heaven. I'm going to be there. So whatever took me to that, it's good. How about you? That's messed with my brain and heart ever since. And I think it's in this passage. Make known his works, Psalm 145 would tell us. They're based on his mercy to us. And again, do it to the peoples. Explain it to the people. I need to move quickly here. But worship the Lord, verse 2 and 3. He gives different ways that we ought to worship the Lord. And who ought to be the one worshiping the Lord? Well, the one who seeks. He says, let the hearts of those, verse 3, the second part, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So if you're seeking the Lord, he said, the people who literally request, that's what the word seek is. I'm asking for help again, different word for it. So I can do that, okay? I don't have to be emotionally happy to do that. It's like, God, I need help. I'm looking for you to help me, is literally what the idea of the word is. And he says, let the hearts of those who are looking for the Lord to help, let them have rejoicing. Isn't that interesting that the rejoicing, the praise, God's putting all those pieces together right here in these verses. He says, worship the Lord. What does it look like? Well, people sing, verse 2. You did that today. Good. And he says, bend the string. That was digitally bent, really bent. Your vocal cords can also be used with this word. There's waves of sound. He says, bend those waves of sound to the Lord. Some of you do that fantastically. Some of us not so much. But we still need to do it, right? We sing, we bend the string, and we worship God together with that. He says, don't just do that, but he says, verse 2, tell of all his wondrous works. Literally, muse on them. So it's like, this is what I think about when I'm sitting here, when I'm sitting with a friend, when I'm at coffee. I'm just thinking about, man, look what God's done in history, in my life, in your life. Muse on it. He says, that's worship. He says, boast, glory, boast in the Lord. We've talked about that. And rejoice. Sometimes I'm challenged by this. Do you ever meet unsaved people that are happier than you? It's disturbing. And you say, well, they're lying. Well, they are, ultimately. They just don't know it, okay? They don't realize that they have no reason to be happy until they know Jesus. But what's wrong with me? And there's time for sorrow. We're not saying that. But even in sorrow, God gives us a joy, a restful contentment when we seek him. And that's going to kind of come out here at some point, right? The people are going to see that. They're going to know that. It's going to be the tone of our life. I've had so many times like, what is wrong with me? I need to be one of these that whose heart seeks the Lord so that I have rejoicing that's coming out of me because I have reason to. Again, I'll be caused to give thanks. Lastly, we want to be people who give thanks. Seek his presence. It says it more powerfully than that. I used one word for seek already, request. There's another one, verse 4, consult, sometimes translated seek, and it literally means inquire of the Lord. So go ask the Lord, and specifically ask him for strength. That seems easy enough. I need to do that. And then he says seek, which literally means look at his presence continually. Search or look at it. Put our attention on it. Now, how about you? I have quiet time with Jesus pretty much every day. Spend time in the Word pretty much every day. I've had the privilege of being grown up in church, being reinforced, having accountability, and it's really a pattern in my life. But there's a big difference between reading the Bible and being in the presence of God. They shouldn't be different, but they can be. I can add to my truth and not be in His presence. I can go through the motion, even with good desire, and avoid the presence of God, because the presence of God is a bit disturbing. Wouldn't you agree? I never find myself in the presence of God that I don't have stuff to fix. And I get tired of that because I'm proud. But to really be in His presence, yes, I have to have this truth about who He is, but I have to enter that and I have to look at Him. I have to perceive that He is part of my life right here, right now, intentionally, and I'm supposed to be walking with Him. And that's what happens. I start talking in third person. I start saying He and Him, and that's different than saying You, Lord. I just press You, even in your quiet time this week, maybe slow it down and say, I need to talk to You, Lord. Not talk about You in my head. Meet in His presence. And remember, this is together. This is a plural word. And don't you think I need that? I need that. Our church that we've joined out in Ohio, they're just so different than you. It's where God put us. But one of the things that they've really brought to us is prayer. Our prayer meeting on Wednesdays, which is just what they do, and it's been really good. About 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes of some time in Scripture, I mean, sometimes less, and 45 minutes of praying. Small groups, just praying. Most time on our knees. And you just can't only stay on your knees so long with the brethren that you find your way to the presence of God. Isn't it true? And we try and do that in ABS. We do it. There's other places to do it. We don't have to label it a prayer meeting. It should happen when you have brothers and sisters of Jesus over to your house, right? Just be together. But I'm saying, He says, seek His presence. And how often do we need to do this? Once a week? It's not what it says. Continually. Continually. How do we do this? I think we ask, we inquire, we ask for His strength. And then He says, remember His works. So we're back to that. Let me finish with this idea. Today, some of you sit here and you don't have this relationship with God that we're talking about. You don't have the ability to be in the presence of God. You have held to your sin, your own path, your own idea, maybe your own religious path that you've chosen, but you're not really redeemed and put into the kingdom of God. You haven't had your sins taken away because of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. You haven't put your confidence, your belief in Him. If you don't do that, you can't have this Thanksgiving well up in you in the midst of, doesn't matter. What you need to do is just at the beginning, start calling His name, Jesus. And ask for that sin to be removed. Trust who He is eternally. Come from heaven to reveal God to you. And there's people here that love to walk you through that because you need to understand those things as you believe them. So, there's those who need to make that decision today, but there's some you have believed, probably most of us. And we sit here and we know, yes, I should be in Your presence, and I know I complained this week. Just stop and let God bring you to Thanksgiving. Call on His name, inquire and ask.